I'll say this about Sheila Malcolmson's campaign office downtown. When it comes to COVID, these people are not f***ing around.
Hello. How are you?
There's a small lobby, but the main office is barricaded by two chairs. There's hand sanitizer, paper towels, a contact tracing form to sign.
Sure.
Not gonna lie, I sort of thought a form asking who my next of kin was coming next.
Hi, Sheila. Hi, I'm Todd.
Nice to meet you.
I don't know if we have, actually.
Sheila Malcolmson is running for the BC NDP party. Her roots are deep in the Mid-Island. Like, very deep.
My great-great-grandfather bought a chunk of land that he left to his grandchildren. So by the point that it moved two generations down, everybody loved this place where there's a bunch of cottages all side by side, and I now am the fifth generation of family to live there. So this is where my mom was raised, where my grandmother was raised, and my dad, as a little boy, grew up next door in St. Catharines, Ontario, just near Niagara Falls, next door to one of my mom's cousins. So he used to come up on weekends to Lake Simcoe, and that's how they first held hands when they were 12 and 15. Didn't get married until 15 or so years later. They grew up and did some other things, and I'm their oldest kid, and they're both still alive and still a big influence on me.
Where do they live?
Downtown Toronto.
And you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother, Eric, and a sister, Claire.
And they're younger than you?
Yeah, my sister's 8 years younger, so I was fully parental with her growing up. I really was like her third parent, and I don't have kids myself. I think I probably got my parenting kind of fix out of my system when I was like 10 years old.
And your brother?
He is 2 years younger. We grew up really close. He's got three kids, so I've got awesome nieces and nephews that I get to be an auntie to, and have a lot of free time to take on other community projects like this one.
What kind of a kid were you?
Pretty shy or self-conscious. I was an animal crazy and particularly horse crazy kid, drawing horses all the time. And I did the whole 4-H pony camp, going to the fall fair, in competitions, bringing home the ribbons, hoping for trophies. A big part of my life growing up in Prince Edward Island. I was born in St. Catharines.
So at what point did you move from there to Prince Edward Island?
End of grade 6, and I was there grade 7, 8, and 9. So really formative years.
And
my dad
did you
was
move?
Transferred for work. He was the first Deputy Minister of Mental Health in PEI. It was certainly a time of not helicopter parenting. You know, I arranged my own carpool rides out to the barn. My parents gave me an allowance, so I was the one that, you know, phoned the vet and the farrier and booked my own lessons and wrote the checks to enter fall fairs for horse competitions. I think I'm very grateful that my parents had means for me to have this just a beautiful childhood. But also when we were living in PEI was the nuclear meltdown at Three Mile Island.
A cooling pump broke down and the plant did just what it was supposed to do, shut itself off. But not before some radioactivity had escaped. We have two reports.
And I remember my parents talking about what would have to happen. How would we get off PEI if the reactor went totally out of control? And so my environmental ethic in the early 80s was laid down by those exposures.
Just before starting grade 10, her dad's contract in PEI finished, so Sheila and her family moved back to Toronto. She did the usual teen stuff, shopping, goofing off with friends at the mall. And then, in her last 2 years of high school, started taking classes about the environment.
It was just the time that the Miller beer entered Canada.
And when the track becomes a railroad again, it's Miller time. Time to head for the best tasting beer.
The long neck screw top. So that was just like the end of the stubby bottle. And everybody was, you know, as high school kids, we were interested in beer, but also to be challenged by our teacher to think about what are the environmental implications? You know, how many times will you be able to reuse this bottle before it has to be crushed and recycled? And it just felt very meaningful.
Sheila then went to Trent University, earned a degree in environmental studies, and, right after her grad ceremony, jumped on a train to BC with the goal of seeing the purple starfish and old growth forests she'd seen in photos.
And fell in love on the train, and then...
Wait a minute, fell in love...
Fell in love on the train.
Fell in love with the train, you mean?
On the train, no. Just, it was fleeting.
Oh. Who?
I'm not going to name it.
Well, no, I don't mean name, but like, it's like...
It was romantic, the country, the clickety-clack. It was an amazing summer. Because he went off to do something else, but I went directly with a Western Canada Wilderness Committee to work on a trail building project in the Carmana Valley. So we were building witness trails, and we had the belief...
What is a witness trail?
Western Canada Wilderness Committee had the belief, it was very successful, that if they got people into these wild places, that they would become attached to the idea of preserving them as natural areas, and that would make it politically awkward for them to be logged. And Carmana is now a provincial park.
Then, perhaps still affected by the Three Mile Island disaster, in 1989, she went back to Toronto to work for an anti-nuclear think tank. The organization, called Energy Probe, fought against an Ontario Hydro mega project, and they won. She was paid just $4 an hour.
Was that like a training wage of some kind?
No, that's an NGO exploit your youth kind of wage.
The minimum wage in Ontario at the time, $5 and change.
I might have done it for free. I mean, this is the thing, right? We believed in the cause.
In her time in Toronto, she reconnected with a fellow Trent alumni, married him, and in 1995, the couple moved to Gabriola, where she started managing a kayak business. In 2001, when BC Hydro said they wanted to build a gas-fired power plant at Duke Point and put a pipeline through the southern Gulf Islands, Sheila knew she had to get involved.
I came to a few community meetings in town here, and I thought, I know how to fight mega projects.
She wasn't alone. Emails from that time, from Freedom of Information requests, show lots of Nanaimo people writing the premier. One was a Dover Bay High School student named Allie Wilson, who scolded him, saying, "Look at how much our environment has already changed in recent years. Please, do your part." The premier, Gordon Campbell at the time, sort of blew Allie off with one of those thank you for your feedback emails, text that he, or more likely a staffer, copy and pasted to pretty much everyone who wrote in. Still, though, something worked. And in 2005, after 10 years of trying, BC Hydro finally gave up. Sheila's activism did not go unnoticed.
This woman, Gail Lund, came to me and said, "I'm not going to run again. And you've seen how effective this can be. And you're going to have to run instead." She asked me probably 40 times when I was going to let her sign my nomination papers. And finally, I just said, okay, I concede. If I'm resisting this, maybe there's something there. I was elected to Islands Trust Council as a Gabriola trustee in 2002.
5 months later, her marriage ended.
He didn't really see the value of being involved in community life or community service. We had a lot of other things on the go. We were building a house, and we had a great ski habit and did all kinds of other stuff. But I would say he wasn't supportive. And probably the fact that after a whole lot of persuasion by my community, I let myself say yes to standing for election. It was probably a bit of a sign that our relationship maybe was at its end. We've been together for 17 years at that point, and we managed to end the relationship really amicably. We didn't have kids, and we remain really good friends. It's not necessarily that that a relationship ends because of politics, but that you enter politics because maybe you are ready yourself to take a new chapter. If your partner's not in support, it's really hard to do the work.
So they split up. And just 6 months later, she fell in love with a longtime friend. They're still together today.
Well, Howard and I had met that very first summer that I was in British Columbia, sea kayaking. And we've been friends the whole time. We fought the Duke Point power plant together. We were involved in the sea kayak industry, a trade journal, Wavelength magazine. We did all kinds of projects together. And once both of our relationships ended, then our relationship shifted, and that's been fantastic.
And what does he do now?
He is a climate change modeler and a wild salmon biologist.
So you ran for and became the federal MP. What surprised you about that role that perhaps you hadn't expected going into it?
So the first time stepping into the House of Commons, especially being in this part of the world where there isn't a lot of built heritage that remains, the solidity of those stone buildings, the carvings, the pomp and ceremony. I was the women's equality critic for the NDP.
After 10 years of the former government slashing and burning women's programs, to have this fantastic opportunity to remediate the Conservative Party's image, I cannot believe he would say such.
I was on TV, political talk shows, once a week. It was that kind of media exposure.
And you were an MP for 4 years?
3 years.
3 years. And I think most people sort of know the progression of your entry into provincial politics and so on, which brings us to where we are now. If you don't win, what does the next 5-10 years of your life look like?
I will spend a lot of time with my girlfriends, who I bless them. I am often a very bad friend. If I do not win the election, I will have a whole lot of catching up to do with a lot of amazing community people. I will go for a whole lot of kayak trips and a lot of walks in the woods. And I always want to be involved in some part of public life. I was certainly raised with the idea that we have a responsibility to leave things better than how we found them. I'd love to go back to school. There's some pretty amazing stuff happening up at VIU. I grew up really closely with my aunt, Janet. She's larger than life, and she got knocked out by cancer and died in a matter of weeks. The people that you love the most can be gone in a flash. I don't know how long I will have, so I had better make sure that I am living in the place, living in the relationship, doing the work that is absolutely most important to me. I always think of that as Janet's legacy, to be braver than I think I am, and to never take for granted the opportunities that we're given and the time we have. We never know how long it will last.
Sheila Malcolmson is the BC NDP candidate in Nanaimo. Music in this episode composed by Doug Bossy and Armin van Glock. Music licensing by Source Audio. Fact-checking and production assistance by Sarah Guild. All interviews for this series were conducted outdoors with 6-foot-long sanitized microphone cables. This podcast series is produced by Nanaimo's Engage Q Digital. I'm Todd Maffin.